Can you guys hear me? Okay, so even though I'd become a Christian as a little boy, there was a lot I didn't really understand. And so when I was about 17 years old, something happened to me. I'll tell you a little bit about that. So what happened one day is I was living a double life. I had two sets of friends. I had my church friends, I had my Christian friends, and then I had my neighborhood friends. And I had been living like the neighborhood friends when I was with them, and I had been living like my church friends when I was with them. I was, as we say, riding the fence. I wasn't hot or cold. I was lukewarm, depending on who I was with. But one day, I was playing basketball with a friend of mine named Rodney. And Rodney came in, and we were outside playing basketball, and he said, you know, I really... He was frustrated over something, and he said, you know, I don't think there is a God. Something we were talking about. He said, I don't think there even is a God. So for some reason at that moment, I had this idea in my mind that I was going to then, hey, I need to share with Rodney about God. I need to tell him about Jesus. And so I proceeded to do that. But I had this weird idea in my mind. I said, Rodney, here's what I'm going to do. I had been listening to Bible stories, so I thought maybe Elijah, Moses, do something spectacular. So what I did is I said, okay, Rodney, I'm going to do this. Basketball goal was down there far away, and I said, I'm going to turn around backwards, and I'm going to take this basketball, and I'm going to throw it up backwards, and if I make it, there's a God. If I make it, there's a God, and if I don't make it, there's not a God. They're really not very smart, okay? So, anyway, I was probably twice the distance of this room, and I turned around, and I threw the basketball up without looking backwards, and I made it. Amazing, God's going to use me powerfully. And so I said to Rodney, I said, you see, Rodney, there is a God. And Rodney was a lot bigger than I was, and he's a big African-American guy, and I was like this tall, and he had big muscles, and I said, you see, Rodney, there is a God. And he stuck his big finger on my chest, and he said to me, don't you tell me about God. He said, because I watch your life every day. And I go to church too. And you're not a Christian. You don't act like a Christian. So I went home. I was broken. I was embarrassed. Mienza, you know. I was shocked. And I was ashamed. Let's look at our Bibles in Mark chapter 8. The Pharisees came and they began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given this generation. And he left them, he got into the boat again, and he went to the other side. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets did you pick up? They said 12. And the seven for the 4,000, how many did you take up? They said Jesus' response is very interesting. Is it right? Jesus' response is very interesting, isn't it? They think he's talking about bread, and so he says to them, "What? Why do you think I'm talking about bread? Don't you understand?" And so he goes into this little dialogue with them, or a monologue with them, and says, "Listen, do you not remember how much bread I made? Do you not remember how much bread you took up with leftovers? So why are you concerned about bread? Sure, we've got only one loaf with us in the boat, but don't worry. I'm going to make sure you don't go hungry. I'm going to take care of that." And that's all we have in the story. But in order to really understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Beware, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees," we've got to look a little deeper. So we've got to look in the Bible a little bit deeper to see and understand. What is leaven? What is leaven? Maybe you don't use that word every day. Leaven is yeast. Okay? Yeast. Or leaven is some kind of agent that we put into food, put into bread. You have to have a sugar. You have to have some kind of sugar in there, whether it's honey or molasses or something else. And that bacteria, per se, it mixes with the sugar and creates carbon dioxide. Isn't that right, scientists? Okay. I'm a theologian, not a scientist. So it mixes and makes carbon dioxide, okay? And that makes bubbles, and it makes your bread rise. I just eat it. Amber's the one who actually does that, and Piper. So it works itself, listen closely, it works itself in little by little, and it takes time to develop. You don't put yeast in and then all of a sudden it's done. It takes some time. It works itself in. It spreads, and it will make a lot of bread rise with just a little bit of yeast. So a little bit goes a long way, or as the scripture says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump or the whole batch. Well, what is the leaven of the Pharisees? If you look in Luke chapter 12, it should be on the screen. We got to look in scripture so we can interpret the scripture with scripture to find out what the meaning is. Luke chapter 12 says, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" So now we know. Now we know what the leaven of the Pharisees is. It's hypocrisy. Being a hypocrite. It's pretending to be something that you're not. Well, what about Matthew chapter 16? So in Mark chapter 8, we have the exact same passage with a little different details in Matthew chapter 16. What does Matthew 16, 11 and 12 say? Jesus said to them, "How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak to you about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what is the leaven of the Pharisees? It is hypocrisy, and it is their teaching. So we could say it like this: it's what they practiced, and it's what they preached. So they practiced, they were hypocrites, and the message that they preached proved that they were hypocrites. Now, if we're going to fully understand what this means for us, and we're going to avoid, or we're going to heed Jesus' words to watch out or beware, then we need to look even a little bit deeper. Because what was it that the Pharisees taught? Or what was it that the Pharisees were like? Now, remember, the Pharisees is a religious body of people at that time, religious leaders of the Jews, And the scripture gives us a lot of information about them. Matthew chapter 23. If you have a Bible, you may want to turn there. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus goes on this long tirade about the Pharisees. And he explains their hypocrisy. In verse 3, he says, they don't practice what they preach. In verse 4, he says, they put heavy burdens on people, but are not willing to help them carry them. Verse 5 says that they do all of their deeds to be seen by others. Now, let's just stop right here and make sure that we understand all of us have some hypocrisy in us. There's no one in this room, starting with yours truly, who does not need to beware or watch out of the leaven of the Pharisees. So, don't in your mind start thinking about somebody else you know is like this. The temptation is easy to go, oh yeah, I know someone who's just like that. So maybe take out your phone and take a selfie and let's look at ourselves, okay? So back to verse 5, it says, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. Verse 13 says, they shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Think about that. People trying to get into the kingdom, and they're slamming the door in their faces. They won't let people enter the kingdom by their teachings. They're preventing people from it. Verse 15 says they go on mission trips to convert people. They go on mission trips to convert people. That's not what the Bible says, okay? The Bible says they cross land and sea to make a single convert. But they're making converts to hell. So they're going on mission trips to convert people to hell. Verses 16 through 22 talks about them focusing on the forms and elements of worship. And yet they are blind to God's holiness. I'm just summarizing what I see in those verses, 16 to 22. They focus on the forms and the elements of worship, and yet are blind to God's holiness. Verse 23 and 24, they tithe even their spices. Do you tithe your spices? When you get a loaf of bread, do you take, has 10 pieces of bread, do you take one piece and give it to the poor? They did that. Spices, mint, dill, cumin, they tithe their spices, but they don't care about people. Number 25, verse 25 says they were greedy and self-indulgent. Verse 27 and 28 says they were outwardly righteous and let inwardly hypocrites and lawless. Verse 29 through 36, they don't have an accurate view of their own state. They said, our forefathers killed the prophets. If we would have been there, we wouldn't have done that. So they didn't have an accurate view of even where they were spiritually. So that's what Jesus said about the Pharisees and about their hypocrisy. They don't see themselves for who they really are. They do things to be seen by others. That's exactly where I was when I was 17 years old. Very religious. I had accepted Christ, but I did not really understand what it really meant to live a holy life, to have a relationship with Jesus. I was still trying to have a relationship with Jesus by doing good works. I thought I was one thing, and I was something else. And the battle still goes on. The battle still goes on, daily to make sure that the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees does not work its way into our lives, in my life. So Jesus' words are, watch out. Xiaoxing, I don't know. Beware, be careful. But it's not like, oh, be careful, watch out, there's a cord right there. Doesn't mean be careful that way. It means be on your guard. Beware, caution. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. It works into you slowly. It'll work into you a little bit at a time to where eventually you'll be full of it. And it rises up in us. What does it lead us to do? What does it lead us to do? Here's some of the things I thought about. Religious practice without relationship. Think about that in your own life. Religious practice without relationship. Standards for people, high standards for people, without sympathy. Faithfulness to God without fervency. Meaning, I attend all the gatherings, but my heart's not in it. Meaning, there's light, but not heat. Attendance without affection. Preaching without practice. Giving without generosity. Sacrifice without selflessness. Missions without making disciples. Public prayers without private prayer. And duty without delight. You see how easy it is for us to, maybe this stuff can work into us, where we can become a Christian, we've been a Christian for a long time, and yet sometimes our heart can just not be in the right place. The leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees has worked into us. Well, watch out. Beware that it's not working into you. This is the kind of message that's not fun to preach, because my life is an open book before everybody's. Before my family, before the church. You know, you can't preach this without going, ouch, what about my own life? Well, that may sound good, but is there any way to avoid it? Right? Is there any kind of solution? If the yeast is already working its way in, well, how do we work it out? How do we remedy or make sure that we are not letting the leaven of the Pharisees or hypocrisy get into us? Is there any way in Scripture to show us how to fight against it or how to make sure it doesn't happen? So I searched the Bible to try to find some answers. So let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. You can do what I did. All I did was look up in a dictionary every word for hypocrisy in the Bible and try to find the answers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "So put away all malice." That means like some anger toward people, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. And do something else. Like a newborn infant, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So what's one remedy to make sure we rid ourselves of hypocrisy? Stop the flow of hypocrisy, or to prevent it from coming in. What's the way the Scripture says that we can do that? So put away hypocrisy and do what? Drink Bible. Put it away by doing what? By by guzzling or marinating in and digesting the newborn, like a newborn infant, the pure spiritual milk. Some of your translations may say, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up into your salvation. So it's talking about the Scripture there, if you look in the context. The Bible, like a newborn baby who drinks a lot. We haven't had a newborn in a long time, but a newborn baby drinks a lot. So how do we rid that hypocrisy of our lives? The Pharisees getting into us, guzzling the Bible. How much of the Bible are you drinking? I can tell you a verse a day is not enough. You need to digest lots and lots of the Bible. If you're going to make sure that the leaven of the Pharisees is not working its way in. Why? Because we grow up that way. We grow up into our salvation that way. When we read God's Word, we're transformed. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing through the Word of Christ, we're transformed. The Bible changes us. We're being renewed in the spirit of our minds. We're being transformed into His likeness as we digest His Word. There's something about it. There's something about loving the Bible that works its way into us and rids us of hypocrisy. Well, what's another way? Is there another way? Well, Matthew chapter 6, if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives a list there of ways that hypocrites behave. You remember that? Pharisees, he says, you know, they fast. When they fast, they do things a certain way. Or when they give money to the poor, they do things a certain way. Or when they pray, he mentions those three things. Giving of alms, or giving your money, or fasting, or prayer. And do you remember what Jesus says hypocrites? This is what they do. And what did he say? They do it to be seen by others. So the Pharisees would give their money, you know, like ring a bell. Get ready. I'm getting ready to put 500 in. I'm going to ring a bell. Everybody see this? There's my 500. So everybody would see them and think that they were great. Or, hey, everybody, watch me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees right now and pray. Or I'm going to stand on the street corner and pray. They wanted to be seen by other people. Or when they fasted, they wanted to look really, really bad. Don't comb your hair. Just walk around like, what are you doing? I'm fasting. What Jesus said, don't do that, didn't he? And so what was Jesus' remedy? Give without telling anybody. Pray in your closet where no one sees. And take a shower, put on some cologne when you fast, and look really good so no one knows you're fasting. And so what's the remedy? He said it each time. He said, do it before your Father who sees in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So how do we make sure we're not becoming like the Pharisees? Number one is we have to just read the Bible and let it transform us. And the second thing is we do things to be seen in secret. The private life. Your private walk with God. You see, it's easy to have a public life before God and not have a private life before God. So we have to develop our private life with God in order to not be a Pharisee. Know God in the secret place. Watch out. Beware, brothers and sisters, of the leaven of the Pharisees. Imagine what it would be like if all of us practiced what we preach. That's why Jesus said, not many of you should be teachers, right? Bible says you be a teacher, you're going to be judged more harshly because we preach, and what about our practice? What if we all practiced what we preached? What could happen in our church if we did that? What would happen in our city if we did that? What would it look like if we had no leaven of the Pharisees in us? Or we could say it this way. What would happen in our church? What would happen in this city, in our Saikung district, TKO, Hong Hao, Clearwater Bay? What would happen if we all marinated daily in God's Word? If we consumed God's Word and we developed a secret life with God that no one sees? Here's a challenge for you this week as I close. Here's a challenge for us this week from Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Would we dare to pray this week? To pray this to God? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. Or see, Lord, if there's any hypocrisy in my life, and lead me in the way everlasting. What are we really talking about today? We have a decision to make. Are we going to be religious, or are we going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It really boils down to that. Kind of Pharisaical religious practice or relationship? Doing Christian stuff or knowing God? There's a difference. You may be here today and you may say, I'm not very religious at all, and I definitely don't know God. We're going to show you the gospel in just a moment when we take the Lord's Supper. But when we take the Lord's Supper, the God of the universe said that we can have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ made a way for us to have a relationship with the God that we've rebelled against and sinned against. Well, how did He make that way? Jesus lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life. He obeyed all of the law of God because He was God in human flesh. And He willingly took your punishment and my punishment on the cross when He died. He shed His blood for our forgiveness of our sins, for all of those who trust in Him and believe in Him. And because He was sinless, to show that that sacrifice was acceptable to God the Father, He raised Jesus from the dead. And He is alive today, and He gives eternal life to all who trust in Him. This bread, it's not the bread we're going to have this morning, but Jesus' body was torn and broken for you, so that you might have peace with God, that you might have a relationship with God. You can go to church every day of your life. You could read through the whole Bible and still not know Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. It's not religion. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, ruler of the universe, thank You that through Jesus we have access to You. That there is one mediator between You and us, the man not a mere man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank you, God the Son, Jesus Christ, for receiving the blows and the punishment that should have been ours for our sin. Thank you that you forgave us and you forgive us. Thank you that you gave us your righteousness. Thank you that you called us into your service, made us your ambassadors. Lord, I pray that you would cause all of us to not have any hypocrisy in our lives. Lord, I know there's hypocrisy in my heart. Search me, O God, and try me. Know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And by your grace, lead me in the way everlasting. And lead our church to be a people who have pure hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.